Guess who's back? Me and the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. It's a good time to be a Yankee fan again. But before we went to break, we were talking about the Mets a little bit, and that gives me an opportunity to speak on the Mets and the rivalry that exists here in New York City. And, you know, I was just on foul territory yesterday. Shout out to Scott Braun, Eric Kratz, AJ Przinski having me on what I feel like is the best baseball podcast out there. And shout out to them as well, getting on Bally Sports. My guy Tommy was out in San Diego and texted me a picture. He's like, proud of you, man. He's like, I'm currently sitting at a wing place in San Diego. I look up and they're like, now bringing on Keith McPherson, New York sports talk radio host from WFAN. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, right? Like, this is a show that was on YouTube and now they put it on TV. And they had me on there talking about the Mets and the Yankees trade deadlines. And they asked me who has a better shot to get to and win the World Series. And I didn't hesitate. I'm like, the Yankees, what are we talking about? I know for a short period of this season, let's say a month and a half, the Yankees look terrible. They look lost. They look miserable. They look like, nah, this team can't win anything. A lot of fans dipped out. A lot of fans quit on the team. A lot of fans quit watching. I won't say people stopped showing up to the ballpark, because even when they were taking L's, there's 40,000 plus in Yankee Stadium. Wait till you see this next homestand. Now that they're winning, now that they got Jazz, it's easily 40,000 plus, especially as the summer is starting to disappear on us and they're already pushing back to school and the breeze is feeling like, you know, football is coming and they're kicking the ball in the air for the Hall of Fame game tomorrow. The New York Yankees have the opportunity to win their division. The New York Yankees have the opportunity to have the number one seed, the most wins. The New York Yankees have the lineup, enough pitching, enough of a bullpen, in my opinion, to get through this American League where no one really scares you. Like, if you're a Yankee fan, how can the Baltimore Orioles scare you? They got better at the deadline, and they don't scare me, especially going off of like their struggles and the fact that we're only a half game back. They should have been able to create some room. The Cleveland Guardians, yeah, they're a good team, but they're in the Central. They're the Guardians. We will not take them seriously until we get into a series with them like we did in 2022. And it's like, oh, well, here we go. Five-game series with the Guardians. The Seattle Mariners, no. I know they added Justin Turner and Randy Arozarena. No, the Houston Astros don't scare me. They're not what they used to be. They go for it again at the deadline. What I'm saying is I think the Yankees have an easier path with the talent that they have and the schedule they have coming up. But that doesn't mean that the Mets can't get it done either. I do expect them to be a wild card team. I don't expect them to win their division, but crazier things have happened. I think the Mets can make noise against the Braves and the Phillies with their schedule that they have coming up. And with the Phillies right now, They're reeling. They're not looking like they looked in the beginning of the year. Their pitching isn't as almighty. Their bullpen isn't as almighty. And their lineup is struggling. Guys like Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper's in a bad one right now. 888-808-1019. So I do expect the Mets to continue to compete and win games. I think these Mets are so different than the Mets in the past. I think Steve Cohen, David Stearns, Carlos Mendoza are on the same page. And they are actively tweaking and changing this team every week. They probably don't sleep because they're just trying to figure out how to put this team in the best position without spending too much, without doing anything ridiculous. But ultimately, it's the guys on the field that control their destiny. And I think that the Mets have enough team chemistry, enough guys, enough bats, enough arms to try and chase down the Phillies if the Phillies continue to fall. Let's go to Philip in Jamaica, Queens. What's up, Philip? You're on the Fan.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Always a pleasure talking to you. And it's apropos because I want to talk about the Mets, about catching the Phillies. No one expected the Mets to even catch the Braves 2 months ago with the wild card. The Phillies are reeling. I think the Mets are 8 games behind the Phillies. So I think things go the right way. The Mets can overtake the Phillies and take the division. Do you think the Mets, if things go the way the Mets want it, do you think the Mets could overtake the Phillies?
I think there's a less than 50% chance, but leaning on what I was saying, like, let's look at the schedules right now, right? The Phillies just lost 5 series in a row. The Mets had a win streak during this time. The Mets have won series during this time, split series during this time. They have to keep it going. The deadline is over. Your team is the team. You have who you have. The Phillies got to go out west. They're getting on the plane, or they're probably on the plane. They're in the air right now. They got to face a Mariners team that's in first place. Then they got to face a Dodgers team that's in first place. Then they got to face the Diamondbacks out west, who are fighting for their wild card spot. Like, they have three tough series in a row. Now, the Mets right now have the good fortune of going out west to face the Anaheim Angels. Then they've got that one-off weird game, the makeup game against the Cardinals. Take that game. Take that game and then go to Denver and sweep the Rockies.
Then, exactly.
Then maybe, you know, then you have the Mariners. And then you have the Athletics. And then you have the Marlins. So there's a stretch between now and, you know, August 20th where, you know, by August 19th, 20th, you'll be facing the Orioles. And I'll be rooting like hell for the Mets to beat the Orioles. And by August 20th, the Phillies will have to face the Braves, coming off of facing the Diamondbacks, a West Coast swing, and then it gets lighter for them facing the Nationals. But, you know, this is the stretch right now to close ground on the team in first place in the NL East.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be optimistic, and I think the Mets should overtake the Phillies. No one thought they could catch up to the Braves and the wild card 2 months ago. So.
Right, and no one knows. You can't predict baseball. Nobody knows. Thanks for the call, Philip. Why predict the other shoe is going to drop? Why say Sal Licata is a mush and Sal, you did it again and you jinxed us? No, you didn't. No. That evaporated in a day. Like I say, our takes and our tweets and the things that we say, there should be a expiration date on them. There should be no more than a day and a half. These Mets were able to knock off the Minnesota Twins, who are a second-place team, a wild card team. They're in better standing than the Mets are. And now the Mets have to go continue to handle business and hope that the Phillies continue to stumble and close the gap on them. And no one can say that can't happen. Anything can happen in baseball. It's wide open this year, for sure. Kyle is in Eatontown, New Jersey. What's up, Kyle? You're on the Fan.
Keith, how you doing, brother? Big sweep, man. Big sweep.
Needed it, baby.
Listen, man, like you just said, it feels, and I don't want to touch on the Yankees in a minute, but it really feels like this year is going to come down to who's hot in September, who has the healthiest pitching staff, bullpen included, and who can really manufacture some runs. You know, with the Yankees of the past, you know, we've always relied on that home run, and, you know, Judge is hitting them again this year. But I feel like in September and October, it's going to come down to Volpe finding that 300 form, DJ, you know, hopefully hitting better than he hits, and then Soto continuing to do what he does. But they got to find a
Jazz,
way to manufacture some
Verdugo,
runs.
Verdugo, Austin Wells, Cabrera here and there.
Yeah, man.
There's
multiple
guys.
I'm loving the lineup right now.
Yes, sir.
No doubt. You know, but with the Mets, or no, sorry, back to the Yankees. The upcoming schedule, you know, you got a nice homestand here with 2 days off. So they really got to take advantage of this stretch at home against the Blue Jays and the Angels, you know, prep themselves for the Rangers and just really take care of business. I'm looking for them to take, you know, 10 out of the next 15 games here, hopefully get themselves back in contention to being the best team in the American League going into the playoffs.
I think it's lining up perfectly. Thanks for the call, Kyle. I think about baseball. I love baseball. Like I love football too. I love basketball too. I'm starting to really like get into hockey as well, but I love baseball because it is literally a roller coaster ride. It is up and down. The Yankees are back up. But man, we were down to the point where you're like watching. I couldn't even make eye contact with the game. Like I couldn't consistently keep eyes on the game. Now I can't take my eyes off the game. Now I'm laughing as the game is going on. Now I'm hooting and hollering like Jazz Chisholm. No, he did it again. DJ, what? You know, it isn't just Judge and Soto. But now they have to pitch to Judge and Soto because the lineup around them has guys that are making them pay. It's coming together, and you love it when a plan comes together. The trade deadline was not executed to the way that any Yankee fan had hoped. I think you wanted a starter. I think you wanted a closer. I think you wanted another bat. So if there's, you know, three items missing from the wish list and you got three as far as two relievers and a Jazz Chisholm that can be a bat, a corner infielder, and a guy that, you know, has speed and can play multiple positions, could lead off if you need him to, and just brings spark, energy, personality to the team. a guy that fits in right away, doesn't need time to adjust, great. But here it is where you have enough talent. Man, steamroll through these next few series, stack wins. They did not stack the deck. They didn't stack the deck. But that's because they feel like they have enough, and they weren't going to give to get. They weren't going to give up a Dominguez or a Jones or some of these other guys. A Will Warren survives the deadline, gets to make his first start with Cole scratched. Okay, well, onward. This is the team. This is who we've got. Joey's in Manhattan. Joey, you're on the Fan. Joey! Joey, we're live. All right, I'll leave Joey on hold. Matt is in Fairfield. What's up, Matt? You got it next.
What's up, Keith? What's going on, brother?
You know, holding
glad to hear
down.
Your voice.
Thank
love
you.
Love listening.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, just want to say, how long you think this is going to last with the Chisholm and the reliever they got there later, Junior? You think this is just a spark from the trade?
I think both are going to be solid contributors. With Jazz, I think he's built for this. I think he's like that. I think this guy was stuck in Miami, right? He's playing in Lone Depot Park. There's 4,000 fans pulling up to watch him. He's playing in a dome. Their stadium is off in by like Little Haiti or somewhere. Like it's like away from the city. Like when he actually gets into New York and into Yankee Stadium and feels what that's like, I think that's just going to bring even more out of him. He's no stranger to Citizens Bank Park. He balled there.
I think he's going to be great.
Sorry, Matt. Sound like you fell down the steps, and then maybe you dropped your phone, and you cut off, but I'll continue. Juan Soto doesn't like Jazz. His facial expressions. Now I'm looking out for that. I don't know. I'm rewatching the game right here. Yankee Encore. They don't call it Yankee Encore anymore, but it's still Yankee Encore. I'm watching for it. I mean, Jazz didn't really do anything today, but maybe I got to go back and watch two nights ago. I don't think Soto cares. You think Soto doesn't want to win? Soto was the one literally quoted saying it's going to take more than two guys. You think he's mad that Jazz is here out-homering him and stealing the show? Not at all. Not at all. These guys are not like that. These guys know if we're going to win the World Series, we're going to have a squad. So now back to what Matt was saying about how long will this last. Do I expect them to have homers every game? No. Multi-homer games? Nope. I wasn't expecting to have multi-homer games. But do I expect them to compete? Yeah. The only knock on the guy is I think he's been thrown out on the base pass two or three times. I think he like tried to slide head first today. Like he's gonna have some stupid outs, but that's because he's hustling. He's trying to win. He's trying to get after it. I don't mind that. He adds that speed and athleticism. That's not going anywhere. He's got pop. He's a left-handed bat. That's not going anywhere. He's got the gusto. He's got the courage to go out there and play the hot corner wearing A-Rod's number. And he never did it before. And he looked pretty good doing it. Give him a couple weeks. He's going to look sharp out there. I just was watching the play where he was chasing that ball in foul territory. Just missed the swipe of the glove of making the play. He's been this close on some plays. He stopped an extra base hit two nights ago. I'm like, this guy, when he really gets him right. I was listening to Susan and Ricky. Shout out to Ricky. Everybody is, I love it. Everybody's raving about Ricky Ricardo as if Ricky Ricardo, this was his audition. Like, yo, Ricky has been doing this. Like, Ricky is like, this is not new for Ricky. And Ricky is a guy that calls the Philadelphia Eagles. So he's right at home down there. He did a great job. But I'm listening to Ricky and Susan. And Susan talking about it. He went out there for 20 minutes and took ground balls. Yeah, I'm good to go. Happy to be a Yankee, happy to be out of Miami, happy to be on a contender, happy to play for this fan base, where he said in the Bahamas, we watched all the big teams, the Yankees, the Lakers, the Dolphins. I don't know why he said that, the Dolphins. Who are you watching with the Dolphins? Jay Cutler? Ricky Williams? I don't know why he said the Dolphins. I thought he was going to say Dallas Cowboys, Yankees, Lakers, Dallas Cowboys in the Bahamas. But either way, I think Jazz is going to be a consistent contributor with a flair for the dramatic. Playing in New York is not going to be too big for him. But of course, he's a baseball player. He's going to slump. He's going to drop off. But I expect in October, when the lights are bright, he's going to make plays. 888-808-1019. Also, with Mark Leiter Jr., and we haven't seen Eniel De Los Santos yet. Mark Leiter Jr., I'm listening to the broadcast. He showed up in the third inning. Susan, I think, might have had her binoculars or something and was like, saw him go in the bullpen in the third or fourth inning. I wasn't expecting him to enter the game. He didn't have, and he didn't even get to say hello to Austin Wells. And he's thrust into the game, and he gets it done. Family ties, his dad, his uncle played for the Yankees. He is a guy from Jersey, New Jersey Institute of Technology, another Garden State great. He is also a Jersey Shore guy. Toms River North, Ron Marinaccio called up today, sent right back down. The other Toms River North guy that we have on the Yankees. Shout out to Lacey and the Lacey Lions. My boy Trav said he hung out in Lacey, but he went to Toms River North, and then he went to NJIT, and he was ready because the Phillies drafted him, and he played for the Phillies. He's not a stranger to that ballpark. They threw him in. He got the job done. Him and Austin Wells were figuring that out on the fly. That was improv. Got the outs. Needed him. Do I think he's going to be good with the Yankees? Yes, they needed a swing and miss guy. And with his family ties, the lineage, I don't think Yankee Stadium's going to be too big for him. I think he's excited to be a New York Yankee. I'm excited to see what Eniel De Los Santos is as well. I'm excited to see Cody Poteet, Ian Hamilton, Scott Efros, Clark Schmidt, all these guys come back. Iron sharpens iron. There should be some competition, right? They got Caleb Ferguson up out of here. Happy trails. Goodbye. I'm excited to see Jason Dominguez with the Rail Riders. Hit some bombs. Make it so they have to send you. I'm excited for 2 weeks to pass for Giancarlo Stanton to get his rhythm back. He had a couple knocks today, but in 2 weeks, he's going to be hitting home runs. In 2 weeks, he's going to be hitting the ball to where you're sitting in Yankee Stadium. 888-808-1019. Things are going to be fine. They're going to be better than fine. Gerrit Cole will be back. Gerrit Cole, he was sick. Doesn't mean the season's over. Doesn't mean we can't win the World Series. Doesn't mean we're stuck in misery. Oh, Gerrit Cole will be fine. Nestor Cortez, post-trade deadline, Nestor Cortez, he did enough today for them to win the game. I'm watching him pitch right now. I'm not asking Nestor to do too much. I'm not asking Nestor to take the ball in October. But eat some innings, compete, keep us in games. You're here. They didn't trade you. You survived the deadline. Gleyber Torres, you survived the deadline. Continue to hit. Lock in. Limit the errors, please. Clay Holmes, please. Throw strikes. Throw strikes. 888-808-1019. Dominic is in East Rochester. What's up, Dominic? You're on the Fan.
What's up? This is working. That's what's up.
It is working again, Dom. You know what? What a difference just an early trade and not waiting until the day of the trade deadline makes. What a difference getting a Stanton back and having guys rise to the occasion like DJ LeMahieu, who was underperforming, Gleyber Torres, who was underperforming, Alex Verdugo, who was underperforming, Anthony Volpe. Like, just think these guys got to play. They have to compete. They have to have some urgency. And I think Jazz Chisholm landing here shook up the clubhouse where it's like, it's go time.
You know, Keith, I have a confession to make, and your opening really hit me because I normally call, and I'm Mr. Negative. I'm one of those guys. I'm always beefing about something. But I will say this in my own defense, Keith. When I do that, it's because I love this team and I love this game. And I don't feel better after I make those calls and beefing about the manager and the closer and this guy. And I feel terrible.
By the way, I
asked my guys the other night, my posse. I got a guy in Florida. I got a guy in Tennessee. I got a guy, two guys in Florida. I got some guys around here. And, you know, I asked them, because they all go to the ballpark from time to time. And I asked them the other day, do you ever boo any of our guys? And they all said no. They never boo our guys.
Not once.
Better not. I know you don't. I know you don't. Now, I did get a kick out of what you just said about Ferguson, right? You know, once they leave, happy trails. And yeah. I don't care.
Nice to know you. Going to forget you in a couple days.
You know, another thing I told my guys a week or two ago, I know that DJ was in trouble, and I still say this injury was a real setback for him, his injuries, you know. And as you get older, it's tougher. But I did And I thought that he was done. And I thought they were actually going to move him back to Colorado. But I also told them to cut this guy a break. Because this guy was one hell of a baseball player. This guy was a vacuum cleaner. This guy obviously could hit. You know, he was a two-time
automatic, systematic. That's why we called him the machine. It was automatic.
Yeah, the machine. You know, so now I'm not saying he's going to be a star again. But, you know, they didn't move him. So if they didn't move him, Keith, and I know you've touched on this, and he's got on the laundry, and then when he's got the laundry on, he's my guy.
Same.
Now, there's another guy that's got on the laundry that is really trying my patience, Keith. And who do you suppose that is?
Clay Holmes.
That's the guy, Keith, right there. You know, come on. The guy is a seventh or eighth inning guy, Keith. He's not a closer. He doesn't strike out enough guys to be a closer. Will you stop it? You know,
Dom, I'm with you. I will use this microphone. If this continues, if they stay stuck on stupid to say that's our closer, I'm a Clay Holmes fan, we've got his back. Why? He's blown so many saves. He's leading the league in that. Why? You need wins. You need to stack wins. He literally takes the thrill of victory and turns it into the jaws of defeat.
And you know, Keith, sometimes when you come back in these games, then your closer really just can't give it up because it's just too devastating. Now, let me go back to the plus side, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old school. You know, I was 77 years old. Last week was my birthday. So, anyway, I don't like the hat backwards. I don't like the flat bill of the cap. I don't like the jewelry. You know.
What about the tattoos? What? There's some guys with some tattoos.
Man,
some
guys.
What about the seafoam green accents that Judge wears?
I don't like any of it. But you know what I do like, Keith?
Winning.
I like winning.
Yep. Whatever. They can do whatever as long as they're winning. If they're losing, hey, tone it down. If they're winning,
care.
Go for it. Go for it, guys.
You know, hey, we had Mickey Rivers before your time. You know, Mickey Rivers
was
the
famous. That's my guy. I love Mickey. I've got to be around Mickey in real life. He's great.
Oh, I know you're having trouble with his name. Just call him Mickey. That's who he is.
Jazz reminds you of Mickey Rivers? A left-handed batter, center fielder, yeah.
Does he
with
ever?
Speed, yeah.
But, hey, listen. Hey, you know, I was thinking, you know, sometimes guys, you know, he may be one of those guys that just he got out of jail.
Yes.
Right, Keith? He got out of jail.
He got out of jail and went to the penthouse.
Exactly. I mean, are they one of the top three worst teams in baseball?
Yeah, they completely sold, and they were selling off in May. They started selling off pieces.
Do they get any fans? You've been down there.
I've been down there. I sat behind home plate for $25 when I went down there.
I got to tell you something, Keith. Are you going, what's today, Wednesday, Friday night?
I'm going Friday night, of course.
You got to go Friday night.
I just understand. It's one of those nights. I've lived these nights so many times. The Yankees go on a road trip. Where they take 5 out of 6 on the road. They get a new player. They come home. That place is up for grabs. And if the Yankees do what they're supposed to do and don't flop, because I've been there plenty of Friday nights where they've come back and they flop, if they do what they're supposed to do and they hit and they run and they pitch and they play defense and they win the game, that is a fun atmosphere to be in the Boogie Down Bronx. I can't wait. Friday night.
No, yeah, you gotta go. I wish I could go, but you gotta go Friday night.
I'm
there's
in
no
there.
Two ways
I won't
about.
Be on the fan. I have a weekend show. I think Sunday, Saturday. I'm going to Bernie Williams Wine event at the Millbrook Winery, the Millbrook Vineyard upstate, and then Sunday I'll be back on after that series ends. But Friday night, Dom, you can count on it. Thanks for the call. I will be in there. My sister's coming with me. It's a Bleacher Creature holiday. One of the, like, you know, last summer Fridays in the Boogie Down, it'll be Jazz Chisholm's first roll call. It'll be the Yankees post-deadline coming home off of a 5-game win streak, a sweep of the best team in baseball, back-to-back series wins. We haven't felt like this. The Yankees are back. We never left. The fans, we never left. That's why I said the building had 40,000 plus when they were losing. Shout out to Jeezy and the Creatures. We never left. You'll see some Bleacher Creatures with it. We never left on our shirts. We don't leave. We don't leave the team. We don't boo the team. We understand there are ebbs and flows. We understand the baseball season's a marathon. We understand they are going to be piss poor at some points. And then they'll be superheroes at others. So we're in this for the long haul. No way, quit on the team. I understand some fans want to quit on the team online. Some of you young fans, just, I don't know, you haven't seen any winning. You haven't seen enough baseball. You just, this team sucks. It's the same as it. No, it's not the same. Boone said it's right in front of them, and it literally is. This is the squad. They've got some guys back. They stand to get more guys back. The schedule is going to soften up. Onward. 888-808-1019. 90 minutes into my 5-hour KM to AM. Join the show. Call me up. We'll be right back. Right back at it on the Fan in New York. A couple minutes here before we get to 9 o'clock. And during the break, I'm looking at some different things from the trade deadline. And obviously, everyone's talking about winners and losers. You know, when you look across the league, people are you know, applauding the Dodgers, who go for it every year. They literally go for it every trade deadline, every offseason. Do they win all the time? No. Same thing with the Padres. They don't even come close. But, you know, people are applauding, you know, the Jack Flaherty move to the Dodgers. What if he's hurt like the rest of your starting pitchers are hurt? Yamamoto's been hurt. Glasnow, hurt. Walker Buehler, hurt. Like, what if he has a back flare-up when you need him most in October? I guess it looks like a good move, whatever. Sure, great. Tanner Scott, I'm not going to hold you. I am, like, tight about the Tanner Scott move. I thought that Miami could have sent Tanner Scott right after they sent Jazz Chisholm. I thought that Brian Cashman had a direct line with Miami from years past. Rumors of a Gleyber Torres trade, a Pablo Lopez trade. I thought Tanner Scott was to be had. But, you know, Brian Cashman feels good about what he did. We'll get to some of the audio from Brian Cashman joining BT and Sal about 4 hours ago on The Fan. We have that queued up. But I also was thinking about the Mets side of things. And, you know, people aren't necessarily lauding what the Mets did, but David Stearns is good at this, right? And it's a tale of two teams in one city. One team has an eternal GM that people are tired of. He's one of the best of all time, but people are tired of him and they want a new guy. On the other side of town, here's the new guy. I think he did a great job. And people are like, nah, didn't do enough. First time, nope, wasn't a good deadline. And you know what he did? He improved the team, but stuck to his guns. And he also didn't break up the team. He got rid of players on the team that you didn't need, a couple arms you didn't need. But he didn't sell off some of the pieces that fans wanted him to sell off. There's a phrase that's very popular during the trade deadline. If you listen to the fans, you'll become one. Like, if you start thinking like a fan, you'll be sitting with the fans. And David Stearns is not sitting with the fans. He once used to be a Mets fan, but now he's trying to do what's best for the Mets right now and in the long term. And he didn't really look to sell at all to improve the farm system. You did that last year with Billy Epler. He'll get the thank me laters in years to come. But instead, he had a bar where he said, we're not going to move off a top 15 prospect, top 16 prospect, and we are going to add major league caliber proven players to this team. And if they are what we think they are, they should be able to get to the finish line and be a postseason team. Chris is in Manhattan. What's up, Chris? You're on The Fan.
Keith, great show. Keith, I got to say, first, I so agree with what you just said about the Mets, but I got to tell you, it's July 31st. Both teams are relevant. Life is good in New York now, right?
This is what we want. We both missed October last year. We want both of these teams to be in the postseason this year.
And I'm having a blast. My Yankee friends, we're talking. We're both excited. It's beautiful. It's everything I want in baseball and life, man. So, Keith, what you just said about the Mets and Stearns, I cannot agree with more. This man has conviction. He has a vision. I love what he did. He didn't feel the need to be held hostage and all this stuff. And, you know, I know you wanted Scott on the Yanks, but that price for a 2-month reliever rental is just, I think, outlandish. If you consider what the Yankees gave up for Soto for a whole year, it just
couldn't do it.
I think it was crazy. So I think Stearns.
I understand.
Yeah. And the other thing, Keith, is, you know, people floating out this idea, like, this just drives me nuts. Like, why Met fans or some of them are saying this? Like, oh, well, you know, Stearns didn't think the team was going to be that good. And now that they are, he just, like, are you kidding me? You think this guy becomes the general manager, baseball operations, and he's just, like, picking up Manaea thinking he's not going to be good? No, he's trying to put and he was the one that
he was the one telling Mets fans they would be a postseason team and getting laughed at.
Right. We're the ones, we think we know better. We don't know better. He's the one telling us that. We're laughing at him. Not his team's performing well, and now we're accusing him of, like,
they laughed at the move for Tyrone Taylor. I laughed at the move for Luis Severino, Harrison Bader. Manaea, they've been serviceable, better than serviceable, right?
He goes out
and gets J.D. Martinez, and fans are like, well, what are we doing? Is this an evaluation here? Why are you buying J.D. Martinez? J.D. Martinez sparks the whole grimace, OMG, ridiculous 25-11 run. It was a good move, and he didn't sell him off. He could have sold off J.D. He could have sold off Severino, Quintana, Starling Marte, Jeff McNeil. He stuck with Jeff McNeil. Now you have Happy Jeff. Mendoza benched him for a little while. He came out of it. He did not trade Pete Alonso. How many nights on the fan were we talking about trading Pete Alonso? I knew they were never doing that.
Keith, he also hired Mendoza, who is doing a stellar job. I mean, so far, he's doing a great job.
I laughed at that, too. Mendoza is the perfect first-year manager for these guys.
Like,
exactly. You know what I leaned into with Mendoza? I laughed at it being a Yankee fan. I'm like, they took our bench coats, they took our scraps, our leftovers, whatever. It's a right. joke. But in reality, when Mendoza was with us, he was hard on a Gleyber Torres. He had a relationship with the Latin players, the Venezuelan players. I remember him going out of his way to connect Oswald Peraza, Oswaldo Cabrera, Gleyber Torres with Miguel Cabrera when they were playing in Detroit last year. He's got a connection with all of these Latin players on the Mets. It's obvious.
Yep. That's absolutely right. There's a sense of community and, like, a kinship there. Keith, one more thing. You know, I know the whole battle between prospects. And, you know, a lot of people are like, you never know these prospects. You know, I also want to remind people, where did Vientos come from? Right. Like, not all of them are going to hit. But, you know, I mean,
Vientos might be a 25 home run guy this year. Who people counted out.
Right, and Alvarez, I mean, 6 out of the 9 players on the Mets are from their farm system. So, like, I know they don't all hit, but to say that, like, you don't know, how many times have people traded for people and they conk out? No one talked about that. Oh, he could do it in New York.
Prospects are suspects, and you're right about New York. Not everybody that's supposed to be almighty can do it on the main stage. Thanks for the call, Chris. 888-808-1019. You get Jesse Winker, a villain to some, but a proven major league outfielder and hitter who's definitely going to have a big moment or two coming up for the Mets. You get a starter in Paul Blackburn. Okay, it wasn't Blake Snell. It wasn't Tarek Skubal. It wasn't Jack Flaherty. It never was going to be. It never was going to be. David Stearns was not giving up what you would have to give up to get those top. Like, it wasn't happening. The Phil Maton move happened so early. I remember being on saying, hey, you don't have to wait till the deadline. The deadline is the finish line, the end. This bullpen needs help now. They go get Maton. Ryan Stanek, okay. His debut, not great. He's been better since. Hoáscar Brazoban, okay. Tyler Zuber, I know he got sent down. Whatever. You made a bunch of transactions. You've changed your bullpen. You get a guy like Paul Blackburn in your rotation. Now Jose Buto does not have to join the rotation. He can stay in the bullpen where he's been a weapon. You have a circle of trust in the bullpen now with Nunez, with Diaz, and a bunch of other guys. This team can hit. This lineup is one of the best lineups in baseball. They struggle to get all of these guys into the games. They still stand to get Starling Marte back. The Phillies are struggling. The Braves went out there making moves to bring Jorge Soler back. I saw he homered in his first at bat. They're trying to get that old thing back there. The Mets are going to be in the thick of it. And David Stearns did not mortgage your future. He did not go over the top, but he did make some smart, crafty moves to fortify the team, marginal moves to make the team better. That's what he did in the offseason, and people laughed at the moves. Oh, yeah, he made these little, who's he signing, these random bums. No, he signed guys that helped the team, and if you can't help the team, you're gone. 888-808-1019. Speaking of helping the team, Brian Cashman feels like he did enough to help the team. Brian Cashman feels like he had a good trade deadline. I don't agree with that. I wanted more. I think it's going to be good enough. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm ready to move forward. I get it. Jazz alone, right? The immediate impact of a Jazz Chisholm, this current five-game win streak, they haven't had one of those in a while. They haven't swept a team in a while. They haven't won back-to-back series in a while. That all happened once the world knew Jazz Chisholm was a Yankee. Let's hear Brian Cashman talking to BT and Sal right here earlier today about the trade deadline, how he felt, the moves that he made, and we'll also get into his comments on Gleyber Torres and Clay Holmes as well. Let's play the first one, Nick.
I'm happy with what I brought in. I like the team that we have, and I certainly would love to keep going. And even on the teams that we've been the last team standing with, in the end, while you're in it, you're always wishing you could have done more, because you want to always – it's about trying to do everything you can to improve your chances within reason when you can find those matches.
Okay, and the next one coming up, I'm blanking on what it is. Just run it. It's from the conversation earlier. You may or may not have heard it. But like I said, Cashman, he answered all the questions. I think BT and Sal did a good job asking questions. I wish they had longer. I know they went longer. I know they could have kept asking him questions. But I mean, they're asking the questions that you guys asked me about Cashman. And I think this next one is about his approach at the deadline, right? As I'm saying, stack the deck. As people are saying, this is an all-in year, but also you have to know there's a Yankee tax and a Cashman price. Go ahead, Nick.
Honestly, we've had playoff contending, championship contending rosters. Certainly, we had higher expectations on years gone by on some of them, and then others, there certainly were some years that that it was a struggle. But, you know, all I can tell you is we try to hit it every which way we can.
I say, do or do not, there is no try. I literally put out my video yesterday of me talking to Cashman in Yankee Stadium where I said, if this is the team, stack the deck, go all in. And he said, you know what, we're going to try. But you know what that means? That means we're going to try to add as many pieces as possible without giving up our future, our farm. And I look at David Stearns, they made 6 transactions. They gave up nothing and added to the team. And for the Yankees, they didn't give up much. Augustin Ramirez, I'm sure he's going to be a good major league player, but I don't think we're going to be worried if Austin Wells continues to be Austin Wells. The impact of a Jazz Chisholm alone has been huge. Mark Leiter Jr. showed up in the 3rd inning, came up huge. Let's see what De Los Santos does. I think they know that they're getting healthy. They're getting guys back. And it's not like this team is a bunch of scrubs. They just played like scrubs. And it's not like this team can't win games. They had a bunch of games that they should have won. But their closer, their designated closer, their closer that they're a fan of, their closer that they're willing to die on the hill that Clay Holmes is their guy and their closer, he blew a lot of these games. I mean, they could be in a lot different standing if they were able to just close those games. Let's hear what Cashman had to say about Clay Holmes. Okay, we don't have Clay Holmes yet. BT and Sal asked about Gleyber Torres in his comments. I was hard on Gleyber when I came back on Monday. I'm like, listen, bruh, you're not a good enough second baseman to talk about being a second baseman. You lead the league in errors. What are you talking about, right? There was so much that came out over the weekend. And, you know, I even heard Aaron Boone on Talking Yanks talk about how, you know, I think that, you know, the quote got taken out of context. That's not how Gleyber is. He's not that kind of guy. But how Gleyber is, right? Max Goodman wrote that Gleyber Torres stands alone with the most errors committed at second base since the beginning of 2018. Gleyber Torres has made 58 errors in that span. Rougned Odor is second with 56. So to me, I'm like, you don't have a foot to stand on. You don't have a leg to stand on talking about where you're going to play. Jazz Chisholm comes out of nowhere. He plays center field the first game. He plays third base, never playing it. He's a different kind of guy. Let's hear what Brian Cashman had to say about Gleyber Torres. They love GT. They're going to protect their guy. Let's hear what Cashman said to BT and Sal about it.
I acknowledge that, you know, it didn't look good, you know, and the way it plays and the way it stays, you know, the way he said it and stuff like that. But ultimately, you know, you got his authentic self, just like, you know, the other one, you got his authentic self. I'd say that maybe they're both in a different spot currently in terms of confidence and how they're going about their business.
So there you have it. I mean, the Yankees aren't mad at Gleyber like the fans were. They're happy to have both of them. Gleyber Torres is your second baseman. He didn't get traded. So again, going back to my open, if you're a Yankee fan, you root for the laundry. You root for all these guys to do well. You might be pissed off when you see Gleyber Torres boot a ball in the 8th, 9th inning. Like, come on, Gleyber, be better. But then he comes through. He saved the game last night. Like, not only with the defensive play that he made, but he also had the winning run. And a guy like DJ LeMahieu, yeah, he's cooked, he's washed. But then when you see him go out there and power them to a win like he did today, good, good. And Clay Holmes, he comes in, gets the save. That's what we want. He's not going to be perfect. We want better. We would like a better closer, but there's not that many better closers floating around, especially if you're not going to give up top prospects. 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM returns right after this.
No, he's trying to put and he was the one that
he was the one telling Mets fans they would be a postseason team and getting laughed at.
Right. We're the ones, we think we know better. We don't know better. He's the one telling us that. We're laughing at him. Not his team's performing well, and now we're accusing him of, like,
they laughed at the move for Tyrone Taylor. I laughed at the move for Luis Severino, Harrison Bader. Manaea, they've been serviceable, better than serviceable, right?
He
goes out
night.
And gets J.D. Martinez, and fans are like, well, what are we doing? Is this an evaluation here? Why are you buying J.D. Martinez? J.D. Martinez sparks the whole grimace, OMG, ridiculous 12 and,
right.
or a 25 and 11 run. It was a good move, and he didn't
and
sell
he didn't
him
rest.
Off. He could have sold off J.D. He could have sold off Severino, Quintana,
right.
Starling Marte, Jeff McNeil. He stuck with Jeff McNeil. Now you have Happy Jeff. Mendoza benched him for a little while. He came out of it. He did not trade Pete Alonso. How many nights on the Fan were we talking about trading Pete Alonso? I knew they were never doing that.
Keith, he also hired Mendoza, who is doing a stellar job. I mean, so far, he's doing a great job.
I laughed at that, too. Mendoza is the perfect first-year manager for these guys.
Like,
exactly. You know what I leaned into with Mendoza? I laughed at it being a Yankee fan. I'm like, they took our bench coats, they took our scraps, our leftovers, whatever. It's a
right.
joke. But in reality, when Mendoza was with us, he was hard on a Gleyber Torres. He had a relationship with the Latin players, the Venezuelan players. I remember him going out of his way to connect Oswald Peraza, Oswaldo Cabrera, Gleyber Torres with Miguel Cabrera when they were playing in Detroit last year. He's got a connection with all of these Latin players on the Mets. It's obvious.
Yep. That's totally right. There's a sense of community and, like, a kinship there. Keith, one more thing. You know, I know the whole battle between prospects. And, you know, a lot of people are like, you never know these prospects. You know, I also want to remind people, where did Vientos come from? Right. Like, not all of them are going to hit. But, you know, I mean.
Vientos might be a 25 home run guy this year who people counted out.
Right, and Alvarez, I mean, 6 out of the 9 players on the Mets are from their farm system. So, like, I know they don't all hit, but to say that, like, you don't know, how many times have people traded for people and they conk out? No one talked about that. Oh, he could do it in New York.
Prospects are suspects, and you're right about New York. Not everybody that's supposed to be almighty can do it on the main stage. Thanks for the call, Chris. 888-808-1019. You get Jesse Winker, a villain to some, but a proven major league outfielder and hitter who's definitely going to have a big moment or two coming up for the Mets. You get a starter in Paul Blackburn. Okay, it wasn't Blake Snell. It wasn't Tarek Skubal. It wasn't Jack Flaherty. It never was going to be. It never was going to be. David Stearns was not giving up what you would have to give up to get those top. Like, it wasn't happening. The Phil Maton move happened so early. I remember being on saying, hey, you don't have to wait till the deadline. The deadline is the finish line, the end. This bullpen needs help now. They go get Maton. Ryan Stanek, okay, his debut, not great. He's been better since. Hoáscar Brazoban, okay. Tyler Zuber, I know he got sent down, whatever. You made a bunch of transactions. You've changed your bullpen. You get a guy like Paul Blackburn in your rotation. Now Jose Budo does not have to join the rotation. He can stay in the bullpen where he's been a weapon. You have a circle of trust in the bullpen now with Nunez, with Diaz, and a bunch of other guys. This team can hit. This lineup is one of the best lineups in baseball. They struggle to get all of these guys into the games. They still stand to get Starling Marte back. The Phillies are struggling. The Braves went out there making moves to bring Jorge Soler back. I saw he homered in his first at bat. They're trying to get that old thing back there. The Mets are going to be in the thick of it. And David Stearns did not mortgage your future. He did not go over the top. But he did make some smart, crafty moves to fortify the team, marginal moves to make the team better. That's what he did in the offseason, and people laughed at the moves. Oh, yeah, he made these little, who's he signing, these random bums. No, he signed guys that helped the team. And if you can't help the team, you're gone. 888-808-1019. Speaking of helping the team, Brian Cashman feels like he did enough to help the team. Brian Cashman feels like he had a good trade deadline. I don't agree with that. I wanted more. I think it's going to be good enough. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm ready to move forward. I get it. Jazz alone, right? The immediate impact of a Jazz Chisholm, this current five-game win streak, they haven't had one of those in a while. They haven't swept a team in a while. They haven't won back-to-back series in a while. That all happened once the world knew Jazz Chisholm was a Yankee. Let's hear Brian Cashman talking to BT and Sal right here earlier today about the trade deadline, how he felt, the moves that he made. And we'll also get into his comments on Gleyber Torres and Clay Holmes as well. Let's play the first one, Nick.
I'm happy with what I brought in. I like the team that we have, and I certainly would love to keep going. And even on the teams that we've been the last team standing with, in the end, while you're in it, you're always wishing you could have done more, because you want to always – it's about trying to do everything you can to improve your chances within reason when you can find those matches.
Okay, and the next one coming up, I'm blanking on what it is. Just run it. It's from the conversation earlier. You may or may not have heard it. But like I said, Cashman, he answered all the questions. I think BT and Sal did a good job asking questions. I wish they had longer. I know they went longer. I know they could have kept asking them questions. But I mean, they're asking the questions that you guys asked me about Cashman. And I think this next one is about his approach at the deadline, right? As I'm saying, stack the deck. As people are saying, this is an all-in year, but also you have to know there's a Yankee tax and a Cashman price. Go ahead, Nick.
Honestly, we've had playoff contending, championship contending rosters. Certainly we had higher expectations on years gone by on some of them, and then others, there certainly were some years that it was a struggle. But, you know, all I can tell you is we try to hit it every which way we can.
I say, do or do not, there is no try. I literally put out my video yesterday of me talking to Cashman in Yankee Stadium where I said, if this is the team, stack the deck, go all in. And he said, you know what, we're going to try. But you know what that means? That means we're going to try to add as many pieces as possible without giving up our future, our farm. And I look at David Stearns, they made 6 transactions. They gave up nothing and added to the team. And for the Yankees, they didn't give up much. Augustin Ramirez, I'm sure he's going to be a good major league player, but I don't think we're going to be worried if Austin Wells continues to be Austin Wells. The impact of a Jazz Chisholm alone has been huge. Mark Leiter Jr. showed up in the 3rd inning, came up huge. Let's see what De Los Santos does. I think they know that they're getting healthy. They're getting guys back. And it's not like this team is a bunch of scrubs. They just played like scrubs. And it's not like this team can't win games. They had a bunch of games that they should have won. But their closer, their designated closer, their closer that they're a fan of, their closer that they, you know, they're willing to die on the hill that Clay Holmes is their guy and their closer, he blew a lot of these games. I mean, they could be in a lot different standing if they were able to just close those games. Let's hear what Cashman had to say about Clay Holmes. Okay, we don't have Clay Holmes yet. BT and Sal asked about Gleyber Torres in his comments. I was hard on Gleyber when I came back on Monday. I'm like, listen, bruh, you're not a good enough second baseman to talk about being a second baseman. You lead the league in errors. What are you talking about, right? There was so much that came out over the weekend. And, you know, I even heard Aaron Boone on Talking Yanks talk about how, you know, I think that, you know, the quote got taken out of context. That's not how Gleyber is. He's not that kind of guy. But how Gleyber is, right? Max Goodman wrote that Gleyber Torres stands alone with the most errors committed at second base since the beginning of 2018. Gleyber Torres has made 58 errors in that span. Rougned Odor is second with 56. So to me, I'm like, you don't have a foot to stand on. You don't have a leg to stand on talking about where you're going to play. Jazz Chisholm comes out of nowhere. He plays center field the first game. He plays third base, never playing it. He's a different kind of guy. Let's hear what Brian Cashman had to say about Gleyber Torres. They love GT. They're going to protect their guy. Let's hear what Cashman said to BT and Sal about it.
I acknowledge that, you know, it didn't look good, you know, and the way it plays and the way it stays, you know, the way he said it and stuff like that. But ultimately, you know, you got his authentic self, just like, you know, the other one, you got his authentic self. I'd say that maybe they're both in a different spot currently in terms of confidence and how they're going about their business.
So there you have it. I mean, the Yankees aren't mad at Gleyber like the fans were. They're happy to have both of them. Gleyber Torres is your second baseman. He didn't get traded. So, again, going back to my open, if you're a Yankee fan, you root for the laundry. You root for all these guys to do well. You might be pissed off when you see Gleyber Torres boot a ball in the eighth, ninth inning. Like, come on, Gleyber, be better. But then he comes through. He saved the game last night. Like, not only with the defensive play that he made, but he also had the winning run. And a guy like DJ LeMahieu, yeah, he's cooked, he's washed. But then when you see him go out there and power them to a win like he did today, good, good. And Clay Holmes, he comes in, gets the save. That's what we want. He's not going to be perfect. We want better. We would like a better closer, but there's not that many better closers floating around, especially if you're not going to give up top prospects. 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM returns right after this.